I'm very pleased to be joined by Roger Moller. I hope I've pronounced that correctly. Roger is the principal investigator at a company called Electric Forester Investigations Limited. Roger, welcome to the programme.
Good evening, Patsy.
Good evening. Now, did I pronounce your name correctly? Is it
Moller?
Yeah,
that's fine.
Okay, fantastic. Now, tell us first of all, what does your company do? You're a principal investigator. What is it you investigate?
We do surveys of usually houses and offices and factories and so on, looking particularly at electromagnetic radiation in the environment.
Right, okay. And what is, I mean, just explain for us, for those don't know, what is electromagnetic radiation? What is it?
Well, electromagnetic radiation is a byproduct of our use of electricity. So whenever we use electricity in any kind of form, it either produces electric, magnetic, or electromagnetic radiation as a byproduct of the use of the electricity, and that's what we look for.
And presumably, it's also not just a byproduct of electronic devices, but it's a means of wireless communication as well, isn't it? It's actually the carrier upon which information sits.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, some devices are designed to emit electromagnetic radiation, mobile phones, cordless phones, and so on. And others, it would be rather nice if they didn't, but they do as a byproduct, and
sure.
it's sometimes quite difficult to get rid of that.
So tell us, first of all, what are some of the worst offenders in terms of the amount of electromagnetic radiation they emit?
Well, perhaps I could answer that slightly differently and say, of the three types, so each device will give out a cocktail of the different types, electric, magnetic, and electromagnetic. It's really a case of what the mix is and what the strength of the various of the three types are, and the effect that they may have.
Right. And why should we be concerned about this? I mean, you know, we've lived amongst these devices for a long time. Is there any realistic cause for concern?
Well, what we're finding is that the background level that people are exposed to has gone up enormously. You were quite right in your introduction when you said about the DECT cordless phones. What they're doing, in effect, is that they're increasing people's background exposure. Now, in the past, people might have got exposed at work from, you know, the photocopier or from technology at work and so on, and gone back to their homes with the traditional telephone and, you know, maybe a television. But basically, when they got home, it was a pretty quiet environment. But that's all changed with the introduction of DECT phones. And so they, as you say, are pulsing 24/7. So the background level that people are living in at home and sleeping in is much higher than it was. And so we're now interested in all sorts of electromagnetic exposure because basically the background levels are so much higher than they were.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, many of us are familiar with, for example, the idea of living in the shadow of electric pylons for electricity supply. And, you know, there was some suggestion that that was linked to depression, for example. Others of us will probably think twice if we're buying a house and there's a mobile phone cell tower just close by. We don't necessarily like the idea of living in the shadow of those things, although we perhaps also don't know why we don't like it. We don't know if that's an irrational concern or whether it's very rational. But for those of us that don't live in the shadow, visible shadow of either of those two, we've generally felt pretty safe. But we have got other things, haven't we? I mean, these cordless phone base stations. I have four in my house. And I was quite horrified to hear that they're pumping out 24/7 because I'd naively assumed, and this is my living, I should have perhaps known this, but if I've assumed this, I'm guessing most people have as well. I naively assumed that when you're making a call, they are causing emitting radiation, they have to, but when you're not making a call, there's no real intrinsic reason for them to do so, and yet apparently they all do so, and many of them pump at maximum power as well, 24/7. So it does seem that there's an issue. And then, of course, we've got Wi-Fi. That would be another source, presumably.
Well, that's right. The DECT standard calls for the phone to transmit continuously, or the base station to transmit continuously. And obviously, when you want to make a call or when a call comes in, the signal's there, that the handshaking's all been set up, and the thing just works, you know, straight away. There are some new devices on the market that overcome this problem. But cordless phones are just one of the wireless or the electromagnetic emitters people have in their homes. things like wireless routers, wireless LANs, Wi-Fi, games consoles, even the wireless thermostat on the boiler now, all of those things are contributing to people's background domestic electromagnetic exposure.
I mean, it is a worry. I mean, what is the advice? I mean, let's take a step back. Why should we worry about this? We've said, you know, these things emit it. We generally don't like it. We kind of assume it's probably not doing us good. But where's the evidence that it's doing us harm?
Well, there have been many studies that not only show that there is harm from too much electromagnetism, but we know it from simply things like too much sunshine. Sunshine is natural electromagnetism, but if we have too much of it, it cooks us. And it would seem that the similar effects occur with man-made electromagnetism. If you have enough of it, it can make you ill.
Mm. I mean, it's interesting you use the word cook, because, of course, you know, microwave ovens do just that. And other devices that we use, like mobile phones and deck phones, do, if I'm not wrong, use similar microwave frequencies, albeit at a lower power.
Yes, I mean, modern devices, some of them are just amazing in what they can do and the convenience that they give us and so on. But just like a car produces exhaust fumes, cars are amazing things, but they produce exhaust fumes, so you have to know how to deal with that. Similarly with electromagnetism, you know, whether it's the washing machine or you know, the microwave alarm sensors in your bedroom or whatever it is, and our relationship with electromagnetism is evolving, should I say.
It's very interesting to me, because I'd expected that you were going to tell me about devices that you know, we know to be emitters or transceivers, you know, phones, for example, and Wi-Fi and things like that. But you're not limiting it to that. I mean, presumably, I mean, would I be right in thinking that the transceiver devices are probably the greatest single sources?
Yes, they are. And what's particular about cordless phones is that they're very close. And the same with Wi-Fi routers that you don't turn off and so on, games consoles and things like that, is that they're in your living and sleeping space, and they're on 24/7. Now, if you think back to what you would have had in your living space on 24/7, maybe 10 or 20 years ago, there wouldn't have been very many things. There are many more now, and also obviously things like devices on standby and so on. But there's another issue, one of the things that now comes into your home in a way that it didn't before is dirty electricity, which rides in on the electricity wires. And these high-frequency transients are also adding to your background exposure level, and that comes from things like switch mode power supplies, computers, and so on.
Okay, so what can we actually do to reduce this exposure? Because it seems to me some of it is within our gift. It's our technology. But by the nature of this technology, you know, your neighbor's devices and you know, devices from hundreds of yards away or more could actually be adding to the electromagnetic radiation in your four walls.
Well, that's a very good point that you make. And I don't think there's a lot of mileage in fretting over things you can't do anything about. But you certainly can manage your exposure within your home, and that's usually simply achieved by turning off things when they're not used or not needed. And for those other forms of electromagnetic exposure, such as the electric field and the magnetic field, switching on a device like a washing machine and moving away from it and not standing next to it. Similarly with a microwave oven, you know, it doesn't make sense. If you're trying to limit your total lifetime exposure to electromagnetism, however small a signal is leaking from your microwave oven, and they all leak something, it doesn't make sense to stand next to it and just move to another room.
Yeah, no, I understand. Okay, but let's talk about telephones now. Mobile phones, the government has advised us, hasn't it, to take a precautionary approach. It's not saying that they're harmful, but that actually, whilst the case is not proven, according to them, that one should limit one's exposure. In other words, you know, don't make longer calls than you need to, use hands-free kits, that sort of idea. What about decked phones? You mentioned that there were some decked phones, and I did a bit of research. I found there was a couple that were making claims in this regard. One, I think, is it called the Orchid phone?
Yes, the Orchid phone is an interesting device, because it basically uses the deck standard, But it's unusual in that it has two safety features, or precautionary features. One is that you can limit the base station and the handset power to 25% of maximum by switching a little switch. And if that's quite satisfactory for your particular use, then from a precautionary standpoint, it makes sense to do that. And the other great feature about it is that when you're not on a call, it goes silent.
In terms of the radiation it emits?
That's correct. And so it might take half a second to get a line, but that's off. You know, that's a price that most people would be prepared to pay to minimize their exposure. Because when you think about it, maybe you spend, 30 minutes a day on the phone, maybe an hour. But the thing is sitting there ready to leap to your command 24/7. And that's not precautionary.
No, and I was shocked because, for example, when my original DECT phone died, which had a built-in answer phone, the handset died. You know, it's usually the buttons that go first on these things. So the handset died, so I bought another one, but I thought, I don't need to buy another one with an answer phone in. I've already got one. I'll leave both connected, not realizing that I was pumping out twice as much EM radiation. You know, simple things and a bit of knowledge can help you cut this down. I suppose the other potential way of tackling this is actually to get rid of cordless phones and actually have the house wired up.
Well, I agree. In the old days, everything went down through wires, and basically, largely, the radio waves or the signals stayed within the wires. As long as you weren't very close to the wires, you were safe. Well, things have moved on a bit since then.
It is interesting. And then we come to Wi-Fi, of course, and one of the things that's struck me for a while now that's missing from Wi-Fi routers is a physical on-off switch for the Wi-Fi.
Yes, that's right. In fact, there are a lot of things like, for example, the BT Home Hub and the Skybox Plus HD, which are basically Wi-Fi routers in your home, whether you use them or not.
Is that right? A Sky Plus HD box has got a Wi-Fi transceiver in it.
Yes, it has.
And the
BT Home Hub, whether you use the cordless phone or not, also transmits 24/7. So even if you just use the wireless LAN part, the rest of it is still pumping out 24/7.
That's interesting, isn't it? And I had a similar issue with a wireless picture frame. And it was actually a BT wireless picture frame, and there's no way to switch the wireless off, which is surprising, because I would be quite happy to use that, you know, without the wireless. I think that's, you know, not a gimmick, but not something that's absolutely essential, particularly as it has, you know, all the relevant sockets on it for memory cards and USB and so forth. Don't have to have Wi-Fi connection on it, and yet no way of disabling it without actually removing power from the device.
Well, it's clear that the manufacturers are not really interested in buying into the precautionary principle. If they were, they'd have a switch on everything wireless that says, you know, when it's not on, you can switch it off.
See, it puts them in a difficult position, doesn't it? Because in order to market something, I mean, to provide and market it, I noticed, for example, that Siemens produce a range of cordless phones called Gigaset, which goes some way towards solving this problem, but not completely. And with those, they are marketed as eco phones. In other words, the implication being that the benefit is a saving in power and therefore money, electricity. But actually the reality of it is they're trying to reduce the emissions without admitting that every other DECT phone on the market, including their own ones, are pumping out this radiation.
Well, it is, you know, the manufacturers are in a bit of a cleft stick.
Yes.
Because as you say, it's difficult to embrace the precautionary principle without giving tacit agreement that it's worth doing.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I was thinking about my own home, and I had the idea of actually just running, perhaps at the same time as phone wires all over the house, perhaps instead of, I'm not sure yet, Ethernet cables, fast Ethernet, 1,000.
Yes, well, 1, in fact, you know, people who want to adopt a precautionary approach, and if they can afford to do it, are indeed going exactly that way.
Because then you can have your VoIP phones, your Skype phones, whatever it is you want. So you can do it cheaply and flexibly and get away from the need for Wi-Fi. So you can actually run sort of Skype handsets and so forth that don't require a computer, just off those. And you can certainly get away with the need. And let's face it, wired local area networks are faster and more reliable.
Well, precisely.
Than wireless. And particularly because if all your neighbours are using, if you live in a block of flats, it can often be very hard to actually find a channel that's unencumbered. And, you know, it is sometimes a problem just getting a wireless network to work properly. So, interesting one. So possibly we could go to landlines. Possibly we could look at an Orchid phone. And would I be right in thinking that the Orchid phones are at the moment the best of their type for this purpose?
Certainly, to our clients who are interested in this, but in reducing their total exposure, we say don't use a decked phone. And they say, well, my neighbour's got a decked phone. What can I do about that? And we say, buy them an Orchid phone.
Buy them a phone. Yeah. Well, I'll be honest with you, I don't know if my neighbours are listening. When I finish my research, I'll be speaking to the neighbour. And I'll, you know, because they've got kids and so forth, they don't necessarily want to irradiate either. So it's an interesting one because, of course, the government line is passive, to say the least, on this, isn't it?
Well, there's a vast amount of money at stake here.
There are some parallels, aren't there? I mean, certainly as far as the mobile phone companies are concerned, there are some parallels between that and tobacco companies in, let's say, the 1950s. It seems to me that we may be going through a similar phase of, you know, in the case of cigarettes, they told us it was good for us in the beginning, and then they said that it certainly did no harm, and then slowly, you know, it was not proven. And for decades, it seems, there was an argument about it, and now it's an accepted fact. And I do wonder whether we're going to go the same way, because this is unprecedented.
Well, the difference is that cigarette smoking was elective. You could choose to do that. You know, within your own home, if nobody smoked, then you had no exposure. But this is different.
What about, I mean, I'm just thinking back to my physics. What about a Faraday cage? What about actually tin foil on the walls, or is that going too far?
Well, no, that's what some people have to do, because this technology does make some people sick, regardless of what the government and the manufacturers say.
When you say sick, what sort of symptoms do people have?
Well, anything from general sort of malaise and loss of energy, mental confusion, headaches, skin rashes. I mean, it goes on and on. A lack of sleep is the best one, because that affects, you know, the whole of your life if you don't get enough sleep.
It is interesting. I mean, thinking about it, I seem to be surrounded by people who, you know, well, not all of them, but so many of people seem to complain about memory problems now, and not people of an age where you would think, you know, people in their 20s and 30s are sort of reaching for words and having trouble. And I've often wondered if there was something environmental in that.
Well, certainly that is quite... loss of cognitive function like that is a classic symptom of radiation sickness and exposure to electromagnetism. And as I say, the background level is now ever so much higher than it ever was, but more particularly when and where people sleep. It doesn't give their bodies a chance to recover from the day and go back and fight the good fight the next day.
Okay. So what are the simple tips that you could give people? What are the simple things that we can do to easily minimise the electromagnetic radiation bouncing around our home?
Well, as I said before, turn stuff off if you're not using it. It's useful to know. I mean, a lot of devices like cordless phones don't actually say that they use wireless radio waves.
No.
But certainly if you identify the items in your home that are giving off, particularly digitally pulsed microwaves, which is what the deck phone does and mobile phones do and Xbox 360 and all that kind of good stuff, if they buy themselves an electrosmog detector, which is about £60, it'll open their eyes, or shall I say their ears, to what's around them.
An electrosmog detector. So electrosmog being the term for this collective... radiation.
Yes, electromagnetic radiation that you don't want is called electrosmog. There are the three types, electric, magnetic, and electromagnetic, or radio waves. And the electrosmog detector, in fact, only detects the radio waves, the digitally pulsed microwaves. But that's a good place to start.
And is that the sort of device that you use? I mean, you are... an investigator with Electric Forester Investigations. So a householder might ring you and say, come and do a survey of my home. Is that how it works? Roger, I think we lost you there.
I guess the internet broke down or something.
Yeah, well, or maybe someone didn't want you heard.
Let's not go there.
Maybe we got too close to the truth. Who knows? But we were dealing with the fact that there's so many devices doing this. You gave us a few basic tips. The simplest thing was to switch off. And then I was asking you how people actually use your service and how does it work? People will ring up Electric Forester and say, come to my home or my office and do a survey of the radiation that's bouncing around. Is that right?
Yeah, basically people who want to know what's in their environment will call us up and we'll have a chat about their circumstance, their situation, and see if we think we can help them. And if so, then we send one of our investigators to their site, do a survey, and then write them a report telling them what we found and what they can do about it and what our advice is.
Right. So you might, for example, determine that there are, what, particular hotspots or particular sources that need to be dealt with or should be dealt with?
Well, yes. I mean, what we'll say is, for example, you know, we'll give them advice about things like the washing machine. You know, put it on and move away a couple of meters, and that'll reduce your magnetic exposure. Mm-hmm. We'll talk to them about their microwave alarm sensors. I mean, that's one that people don't realize. They look at the alarm blinking in the corner of the room, thinking that it's protecting them, as indeed it is, but it's also irradiating them 24/7.
I was wondering about that myself. So those are actually active even when the alarm is not set?
That's correct.
And one knows they are because you actually see the red light come on when they detect a movement?
Yes.
And one has to ask why. I mean, what's the point of that? If the alarm system is not active, what's the point of having the sensors actually... Because they're called dual-tex and tri-tex because they actually use different technologies, don't they?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, maybe leaving them on makes them more reliable, I don't know. But certainly you can imagine what appears on one level to be a quiet bedroom where you're going to sleep, but actually you've got a decked base station next to your head, a radio alarm clock next to the other bed, a touch lamp, and a microwave alarm sensor in the corner of the room. I mean, it'll be humming, but you won't hear it.
Yeah. I think, you know, I was just thinking about this during that last break and what we said about Wi-Fi routers and how they don't have on-off switches. Because, of course, you can switch the Wi-Fi on and off on a router, but it requires you to log on to the router using a browser and switch off the wireless part. And, you know, it's a kerfuffle and a lot of people wouldn't even know how. But it actually strikes me that we could do a little feature showing people how to connect a Wi-Fi router to a switch, and then be able to actually disconnect one part of it quite simply. Maybe that'd be a nice little feature for us. Roger Moller, thank you very much. That's certainly eye-opening. I'm going to go give that some thought. Roger Moller is the principal investigator at Electric Forester Investigations. Roger, if people need to get into contact with you, if they're interested and want to find out more about your services, how can they actually reach you?
They can reach me on 0845 345 1892 or email me at roger.moller@electricforester.co.uk.
Okay, so just let's have that again. 0845
345
yep.
1892.
1892 or
roger.moller@electricforester.co.uk.
Okay, and if anyone needs that information, they can ask us for it, and we're happy to pass it on. Roger Moller, thanks very much for your time.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you for having me.